is Dr. Zbigniew Brzezinski. Was the former national security advisor to the president, and this is him in 2012 warning the U.S. do not get into a war with Iran, and he gave all of the reasons back then why we shouldn't, and all of the reasons came true. And I spent the better part of the entire part of 1987 at Columbia University studying under Dr. Brzezinski. Here's Brzezinski.
There are threats, there are concerns, and there are divisions within the Israeli government, within the Iranian government, within the U.S. government. We have to be very careful not to create a situation in which the Iranians feel they're being destroyed by the sanctions, and they lash out and start a conflict.
And you just had the European Union states say that they will enforce all sanctions.
That's right. Now the question is, how far does one go in these sanctions? Because if, in effect, a country is about to be destroyed economically, it first of all unites the people with the government. The people, generally speaking, don't react against the government until there is a defeat. Till then, they feel the other side is at fault. So we run the risk, in any case, of uniting the Iranians, the people, with the government. Because if the issue is posed in a way in which they have to, in effect, abjectly capitulate, then I think great many of them will say no. This is a country of 80 million people, and they know that while we can inflict enormous damage on them, they can hurt us a lot.
Listen to what he's saying. He's saying if we try to force them to capitulate, they're gonna double down. And what did Trump? He used the words total capitulation. It's as if the Jews that are writing the script for Trump watched Zbigniew Brzezinski's speech and drafted the exact opposite for Trump to follow. This would have been the simpletons. Jared Kushner said, let's watch this Brzezinski thing and let's do the exact opposite.
Charlie, we have been now in two 10-year-long wars. We have wasted an enormous amount of financial wealth, not to speak of lives. Our position in the world has deteriorated. Can you imagine what the consequences would be for us if the conflict in Afghanistan expanded because of the Iranians, if Iraq was massively destabilized, if Bahrain was set on fire, if the northeastern oil fields in Saudi Arabia were attacked?
Do they have the capacity to ignite all of that?
To ignite, yes. To prevail, no. But in the meantime, the consequences, the costs, would be cumulative.
And oil prices would go through the roof.
Yes, and the global economy will be affected. So we're playing with fire here. I'm a little baffled why we're pushing the envelope so hard, because after all, we have been willing to live with North Korea, which demonstrably poses a similar problem for South Korea and for Japan, yet we're not making such a fuss. We have been able to deter the Soviet Union, which was much more lethal than Iran can ever be in the foreseeable future. We deterred the Chinese, even though Mao Zedong said that a nuclear war would mean 300 million people dead. So what? We have to take a deep breath and ask ourselves, look, if worst comes to worst, and even if they do move towards having some capacity in the nuclear weapons area, we can still deter them. We can certainly destroy them.
Is it your opinion they only want capacity, they don't want necessarily to produce weapons
I
in the
think
near
it's
term?
Open, and I suspect they're positioning themselves to be a little bit like Japan.
Exactly.
That is to say, have the potential capacity, but not to exercise it. Well, in that context, is that worse than a war, or is it less lethal than a war? To starting a war in which we, the United States, will be the principal payers of costs.
Does
You know,
that
it is not an accident that Russia is not anxious to get involved, nor for that matter the Chinese. They have been looking at us over the last 20 years, watching us shooting ourselves in the foot, declining as a major power, waging wars which we are not prepared to win or capable of winning, or in which we set too high a goal. And are we going to compound these errors? Why?
So what would you do?
I would do more or less what we have been doing,
sanctions?
But with a sense of
sanctions on oil?
No, I wouldn't force it to the point in which the choice for them is capitulation or collision. And if we're going to bring them to their knees, I think we're going to precipitate an explosion.
Is there any doubt in your mind that they want a nuclear capability?
I think they want to have a potential capability.
And just make sure you understand, the entire dialectic, all the talking points coming from Trump are, we're going to bring you to your knees. Exactly what Brzezinski is wanting. Do not use this approach. Trump is using the exact words that Brzezinski said, do not use. Trump is using words like bring them to their knees and all this stuff. Capitulate, annihilate. So Trump is doing exactly what Brzezinski said, do not do. Unfucking believable.
They also want to have status. They live in a part of the world in which, to the left of them, the Pakistanis have weapons. To the right of them, the Israelis have weapons. And there is an interesting problem also with the Israeli, the Pakistanis and Israelis. There's an interesting problem with the Israeli nuclear weapons. The Israelis have them, presumably, to defend themselves, right? Mm-hmm. Including against the Iranians, right?
Right.
Okay, now, it seems that the Israelis feel that their nuclear deterrent doesn't deter the Iranians, right? And then maybe they should offer to give it up if the Iranians give theirs up. If it's useless, why have it? And I'm opposing this essentially as an argument because I know it won't be taken seriously.
Right.
But the point is that we're dealing here with a volatile problem which involves a series of countries. But if there is an eruption, we will be the ones who will be making the sacrifices, entail the costs, and suffer the consequences.
Is it likely the Israelis would strike, in your judgment, even though Ehud Barak said it was not imminent?
That's the whole Jewish point.
Long way off.
That's
the
secret of
neo-communism. Would they inform the United States? What would they do?
In this case, not.
My guess is if they were going to strike, they would strike on their own, without giving us much of an advance warning, maybe just as the operation begins. And its primary strategic objective would not be the achievement of the destruction of Iranian nuclear capabilities, because they know they cannot do that effectively. But the objective would be to precipitate an Iranian reaction against us, because our complicity would be apparent to the Iranians in the sense that we didn't do anything to prevent it from happening, and that we in fact armed the Israelis so that they could do it. So their reaction would be directed against us. But the objective would be to precipitate an Iranian reaction against us, because our complicity would be apparent to the Iranians in the sense that we didn't do anything to prevent it from happening, and that we, in fact, armed the Israelis so that they could do it. So their reaction will be directed against us.
Contrary to what some brilliant analysts who read the Path to Persia paper by a decoy paper from the Brookings Institution, whose purpose was to trick people into thinking that, yes, the Jews are going to kick it off and then they're going to take the heat. And you have people like John Mearsheimer and Zbigniew Brzezinski saying many, many, many years ago, no. Who's going to take the heat? And who is taking the heat? So this idea that, so for the analysts that read a Brookings Institution paper and don't see that it's anything other than a decoy, just look what's happening. That's your answer.
Would be the obvious target. And this is where the Strait of Hormuz and Bahrain and Iraq and Afghanistan and the price of oil and the condition of the global economy comes into play.
You think anything is going on with respect to the Israelis and the Palestinians? You see the effort on the part of part of the Palestinians to talk to the other part, Fatah talks to Hamas. You think there's any possibility that somehow they may speak with one voice and therefore be able to negotiate with the Israelis?
I have been dealing with this problem for 30 years, and I have a very simple conclusion based on my experience. And it's not a condemnation of one or the other. The fact of the matter is, in my judgment, that left to their own resources, the Israelis and the Palestinians will never reach a fair settlement. Because in all of this discussion, there's a tendency to look at it from both sides, the Palestinian and the Israeli, from the short-range perspective. You know, what do we get? What do we extract from the other? How do we position ourselves? What both sides forget is that if there is no peace, it means a horrible fate for the Palestinians in the near future, an extremely dangerous fate for Israel in the longer run, as American power recedes from the Middle East. Because what we have to observe is the fact that we were paramount in the Middle East after World War II, and we stayed paramount until recently. At one point, we had good relations with the key players in the Middle East, Iran, Turkey, Saudi Arabia, Egypt. Look where we're now. We don't have particularly good relations with Iran, which we have just talked about. The Saudis are kind of uneasy about, especially because of Mubarak and Egypt.
Yeah, but they seem to have come back strong, it seems
to me, a
little bit.
Well, they've come back with a sense of hesitation and reservation.
Right, exactly.
They don't trust us anymore. They don't rely on us. And the Egyptians are in a very unpredictable phase. So the whole structure of power in the Middle East is changing, and none of it is changing to our advantage.
And who becomes the key player?
Whoever dominates, and that could be very messy, or whoever solicits new friends. That could, over time, even be China.